picking up from the end of the tape from the other side, that we will have one consistent set that reads to both left and right minded.
The other aspect of story, which is just as important, this is really something that we may want to put early on, but the big attraction of storytelling or of listening to stories or understanding stories is not only the exploration of a problem, but actually being able to see from a God's eye view the correctness or incorrectness, the after effects of a decision or of an action. In real life, we rarely, if ever, get to see that. We see it in a small sense, but we never get to see until way on down the line, possibly, if we have made proper choices or correct choices or acceptable choices or unacceptable choices. We never get to see at the end of the big picture how we fared, because at that point, we're no longer around. Stories allow us to take that God's eye point of view, to see what happens after a decision or after an action, to see if the choice that was made was a correct choice or an incorrect choice, to see if that led to failure or if it led to, if it leads to winning, what do you call it?
Success.
Success, thank you. Or it leads to success. That is the biggest and probably the most attractive thing about a story in the ultimate picture, because there is nothing so unrewarding as a story that leaves it up to you to determine that, whether or not it is successful or failure, because that is effectively then becoming a bit of real life. If you are the one who's presented with all of the elements, with all of the problem solving, and etc., but you are not presented with a nice pat answer and a pat evaluation at the end, then it, although it may be great storytelling, it is not the, it is not something that people enjoy about stories, because it's that ultimate answer that is the most fulfilling and satisfying.
And now I must interject that that has been a completely left-minded point of view. It is not the right-minded point of view on a story, and you will frequently find that stories written for left-minded people or by left-minded people will have an extra moment in order to prove the correctness or incorrectness of a decision or a course of action, that there will be a judgment as to whether it ultimately will lead or has led to success or failure. Whereas right-minded, and this is a large difference between the two, one is outcome-oriented, that's left-minded, and process-oriented is right-minded in a very general sense. Just one aspect, one perspective of looking at those two mindsets. And so a story written for left-minded must have an outcome. It must have a conclusion. It must have a way of rating whether things have been successful or not. But for right-minded, it's the process that's important. And it is not looking in terms of the outside world whether something has been successful or has failed in trying to do what it wanted to do, but as to whether the process has been altered into one that is a better process or one that will be moving in the proper direction. So a measuring stick for a left-minded film would be, has this accomplished a goal or not? Whereas for a right-minded film, it's, has the direction been set properly for the future or not? That is a real difference. And the way you would conclude a story that was intended to be most enjoyable to right-minded people is merely to indicate that the direction of a life or a means of thought or a process of interaction has now been altered into a better direction or one that will lead to a better situation or mental condition later or better relationships later. The right-minded person does not have to see the proof, just the indication that the direction is a proper one. when you're going for a broad audience, you do not want to leave out either of those aspects in the story. You want to make sure that you show that the process has now gone in a good direction, and that that will definitely lead to a good conclusion, or already has, or that a good conclusion that is now successful, or one that has failed, if you want to show about a negative story, that that is leading in a direction that will either get better or get worse, for sure. And so you'll frequently see movies that are successful ones to both left and right-minded audiences having each of those in there. The order in which you will make this proof at the end, and it really is proof regardless of whether it's a success or a direction, success or failure or a direction, positive or negative. The proof, will it be the conclusion proof first or the process proof first? Essentially, that will determine what kind of movie it is perceived to be, whether it's perceived to be a right-minded film or a left-minded film, whether it's perceived to be one that is more oriented towards action and accomplishment or more towards introspection and changing one's mind, coming to terms with oneself, whether it is one about having and doing or one about becoming or being. Those are the two different perspectives, and the order of the proof has a lot to do with how that film will be perceived. If you did a film completely from one point of view, it would be beautifully received by half of your audience, but you would leave out the other half of the audience entirely. And if you come up with a common film that has aspects to both, which is our initial thrust in talking about story, that common film then must have a satisfying ending to each.
Typically, whichever one of those two is last, in other words, was the action taken first and then there was a decision, or was a decision made first and then an action was taken, whichever one happens last will determine how the story is perceived.
And this leads us to an interesting aspect. When you start to break down into somewhat traditional views of story, coming out of mind and universe and out of justifications and balanced inequities, biding your time to try and solve a dilemma, you end up with characters, actions, decisions, and conclusions. When you have characters, they are defined by the fact that they will have a nature that does not change throughout the course of the entire story. Now, that nature will be exemplified in having an element of mind and an element of externalism, an element of mind and an element of universe. Typically, in a lot of the films that are made, they are made in a left-minded manner. And because they take a left-minded cast, the mindset would be the one that would be fixed. In a left-minded film, it's the mindset that's most difficult to deal with, because left-minded people are externally oriented. They look to their environment and the world around them and attempt to solve problems there first. It is only when they cannot solve a problem in the external universe that they determine the problem must be inside and know that that's where they have to look to try and solve it. But it is an area that where their tools are not focused on and therefore not as efficient as trying to solve it outside. So a left-minded film would begin with a character set that is primarily a fixed mindset, representative of a fixed mindset. And it would follow that set of characters, that fixed set of characters with attitudes that do not change, and follow them through trying to deal with a physical problem. And ultimately, after having gone through all the steps of dealing with the physical problem, determine that the last step necessary to achieve that goal that they have in mind cannot be accomplished without changing their mind, without changing their attitude, without realizing that there was something about their own internal makeup that was causing an inequity that could not be overcome and achieve their goal, that only by changing that internal element could they achieve their goal. A more sophisticated story might say that it's important to keep a fixed mental attitude in a certain respect.
Before you go get into that, though, the completion of your thought was you've got to change your mental mindset, and then you may take the action that will then determine your success or failure. So that the fixed mindset must require a decision or a change of mind to then allow an action to be, the ultimate action to be taken. The flip side can be easily said for the right-minded. You have a fixed universe set, and ultimately the universe set must be changed before the ultimate decision may be made.
Right. In other words, in a right-minded film, one would have obstacles that are inside that one tries to overcome. One looks at things from many different ways and sees what one's feelings are about a subject and what one thinks about it and what one knows about it. And after you have explored all these elements, before you can become the person you want to be, before you can reach the mental state that you want to be in, you determine that you must take some step to change your universe. A simple example of this would be a battered wife story, where she wants very much to reach a point of happiness and contentment, and she tries everything she knows in terms of her mind, her attitude towards her husband, towards her family, her job, her career. Everything she tries to do is internal, changing the way she feels about things or how she looks at them. And finally, only by taking action, by leaving or by killing him or by turning him into the cops or something, she must take a physical action before she can reach that mind state of contentment. That would be the opposing film to the left-minded film, where you are then taking your next to last step must be taken externally in the physical universe, and only then can you achieve the mindset that was your quote-unquote goal to begin with.
And I would strike the career from that example,
mm-hmm.
because if for her to make a change about her career would be an external move.
Change about the way she feels about her career, not about the career itself.
But the career is external to that problem. You've set up a problem, an environmental problem, which is she's a housewife in a battered, who's got a husband that abuses. And that cannot change throughout the entire story. She must remain, she can do other things, but those are not part of that problem.
No, but because they aren't part of the problem, if you have a mindset where she goes out and has a career, and then she does this and she does that and has other aspects, deciding that she will give up the career that she loves, you see, is changing her mind.
Right.
And
right.
So that actually is not
right,
a physical action.
But
so
her
much.
Actually doing it is not important to that.
No, it's just her decision internally that she will do that in order to try and achieve that mental state. So it's basically completely internal versus completely external, but it's the interplay between the two that generates the story, tensions, and conflicts.
A left-minded version of that exact same story would be someone who, because of financial reasons or obligations, has put themselves or have been put in this relationship with an abusing supervisor or wife or whatever, but in an obligatory external sense, they are tied to this person, and they will go through the story trying to do different things to get out of that obligation, as opposed to changing themselves, which is ultimately for this particular story would be the reason. The only way to get out of it would be for them to suddenly turn around and love the person, which then drives them away. So that by changing themselves, it then brings about the ultimate action, which is the ultimate goal, physical goal, which is what they're going for. But they will not, a left-minded story will not explore the changing of the mind. That will be the ultimate thing that has to happen. However, they will try to change the environment, try to poison the person, try to work to get enough money to buy themselves out of the obligation, whatever it is. But they'll do all the real-world things that they can think of, and then come to a point where the only thing that's going to get them out of it, or to get them to succeed, is by changing their mind. And then that will either will or will not prove the success of the achievement of the goal, depending upon the storytelling.
Okay, so we talked about there being characters, action, decision, and outcome, or proof. And in in story, again, looking at characters now, what we will ultimately discover is that we have 64 elements to consider the way they relate. Those elements, how they are arranged in the mind and the universe, how the potentials between mind and universe can be seen from each of these 64
touch points
or platforms from which to gaze at the problem. Essentially, we will find that we take 16 of these, one-fourth of them, and those represent the characteristics that will be combined into our physical human bodies we call characters. Of these 16, we will begin with a discussion of the simplest types of film, not the very simplest, but one of the simplest types of stories or screenplays. And that would be what you would see in a typical action picture or a very simple drama or comedy. It would be a story where there are 8 characters, and each character has within him one internal characteristic or attitude and one external characteristic or methodology.
Approach.
Or approach. And so an attitude and an approach together will give each one of those characters an aspect of the mental set and an aspect of the physical set in one sense. In doing this, we will, let's now illustrate or, what would I say, enumerate. Let's enumerate the 8 different characters as to what they look like when they are combined. And these are the characters you will see very, very frequently in simple stories. And then we'll go on to divide these characters into their characteristics that make them up and see what the entire set of 16 that they represent consists of. We'll start with a character called the protagonist traditionally. And the protagonist is generally seen as, in a simple story, that one physical being who is out to achieve a goal or has a problem to solve, and the one who ultimately it will befall to either solve it or achieve it, that in the end, everyone else around him has tried and failed or is simply not even up to trying, and only the protagonist is uniquely able to solve either his moral dilemma or mental dilemma inside or to solve the physical problem outside. The protagonist can be a positive character when he is trying to achieve something, or he can be a negative character when he's trying to avoid something. But avoiding something may not necessarily be a bad thing either. If you're trying to avoid having to participate in a bank robbery, but circumstances are forcing you into having to do it or face an even greater problem as a result of it, then you are a protagonist who is trying to avoid and can still be seen as a very favorable character. The thing that will make a character and his story and any of these characters and their stories be positive or negative is essentially the point of view of the author. The author will make a godlike determination as to what is proper morality or improper morality within the story. And he either convinces the audience of his point of view by the end of the film so they agree that when a choice is made, it's proper or improper. Or he assumes that the audience, in which they may very well, sees things the same as he does and will agree with him that something is proper or improper without that having to be conveyed to them, without the audience having to be convinced. So our primary character is the one who forces the course of the action or the decision along. That is the protagonist in our simple story.
All right.
Before we break down the characters as much as we've done with the protagonist here, we'll go ahead and give you a list of all 8 of them so that we can have an idea of where we're headed with these and how they relate. We start out with the protagonist, who is traditionally seen as trying to achieve a goal, the antagonist, who is traditionally seen as trying to prevent the protagonist from achieving a goal or as the problem. We have a character of emotionalism, who responds from the heart. We have a character of intellectualism, who responds from logic. We have a sidekick, perhaps, who is loyal to the protagonist throughout the story. We have a skeptic, who is never convinced that the goal can be achieved and drags his feet at every step of the way. And we have a guardian or teacher character who helps the protagonist in his quest and gives him information to help make the moral decision. And a character that we ourselves have named called the contagonist, who serves as a bad example or temptation to the primary character and hinders him in his to the protagonist and hinders him in his quest as well. Did I leave anybody out there?
Nope, that's the eight.
Okay, that's eight.
Now, the one thing that we have a tendency to do in our system, because of the fact that you have a protagonist who is this very, very simplistic character and typically is seen as being a very positive character, what we've done is we've often renamed that character to the primary character. That way, if you're speaking about the primary character is the one who has, within which the dilemma resides. And quite frequently, it is unimportant if they are a person who is moving forward, or, you know, in terms of pursuing, in terms of proaction, or if it's a person who's avoiding, or somebody who is trying to stay away from a problem. The primary character, though, is the one who ultimately has to make that decision or take that action before the ultimate resolution can occur. When we're going to typically talk about stories and characters that we would consider to be positive stories. The reason for that is whatever we say as far as a positive story goes, there is an antithesis to that. For instance, if we have a story about which someone is going after a goal, well, you obviously can have a story about somebody who is avoiding going after that goal as the primary character, because the primary character, again, ultimately has to make that decision. Most stories that revolve around fear would be what we consider, or what we call, a negative story. It is the avoidance of going after that which ultimately needs to be resolved, that avoidance, as opposed to the pursuit of the problem, that is why we call those negative stories.
Okay, one other note on the difference between a protagonist and a primary character is that the protagonist we shall see later is made up of that internal element and that external element. And as we look later at stories and see that there is an action line and a decision line, it is possible to split those two, because each one of these 64 characteristics can be seen independently, and in a character set, each one of those 16 that we've selected for our characters can be in different people or combined within a single individual. The more they're combined, the cloudier they become, and the more separated they are, the easier they are to understand the pure influence each one has on the problem. Many stories are done in which one character will follow the action line and make all the steps necessary to accomplish a solution or resolution of the physical problem. And another character will follow the decision line and make all of the internal adjustments necessary to come to the proper conclusion in his mind. It is a determination of whether it's the mindset that is fixed or whether it is the physical set that is fixed that will choose which one of those two characters would be the primary. If you have a mindset that is fixed and it is the person who has a frozen mindset within him, that will be where the necessary problem to be solved is. And he will be the one who is dabbling in the physical world. So he will be taking all the action elements, but in the end, he must make the decision internally to shift the way he feels. So he has to cross over into the other world. And because he has to cross over, as Chris had said, that shows that he is the one that must deal with the dilemma, must resolve the dilemma or not. He is the one who has to compare both worlds together. You can have another character in that story who is the decision line character, who is constantly changing the way they look at this and that and the other thing and following that line all the way through, but they never have to step into the other world and do something physical to resolve the problem. So when you have one set frozen, that set then becomes the one that must be moved in order to resolve the dilemma. And the character who is operating in the other set, exploring those elements and moving through that line, will be the primary character. Well, you did that.
Oh, you did.
I don't know what you were going to say. You were just saying that, one of the characters, the action character or the decision character, must employ both worlds in order to solve their dilemma.
Even though through the whole process of the storytelling, they themselves do not have to be the one doing. For instance, take Witness for example. We have Kelly McGillis, who has a problem set up. She has a fixed universe set, I mean, literally. but her primary consideration is, does she want to change who she is or not? That's effectively what's an exploration of. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
Now, an external physical problem is introduced, that being the witnessing of the murderer and the whole, you know, are they going to get them, you know, are the killers going to get them or not? That is completely driven by Harrison Ford. It does not require Harrison Ford to examine at all his mindset or change his mindset in order to resolve that action problem. That is what he is driving, but that requires only work within the physical world. He does change his approach, but he does not change his attitude. He changes his approach from proaction, preservation, reaction, inaction, I think it is what he ends up doing. But he does not change his attitude. His attitude is always the same. In fact, he says in the story, I can't do this because if I do this, it would require one of us to leave. And he is not going to change his mindset. He also doesn't want to change his universe set either, but it's the fact that he's already working in the universe set. She, on the other hand, goes through an exploration of the different mindsets toward a fixed physical universe. But it requires her, if she was going, that the moment of change for her would be for her to take a physical action. Now, she actually chooses not to, so it's a sort of a failure story. But that is ultimately the proof of the success or failure. The proof of her as the primary character, because even she's explored all of her mindset, but she did not explore really any of the physical sets at all. She was fairly uninvolved with the murder plot line, except peripherally. But ultimately, she would have had to make a change in her physical environment or her physical universe for her to make for her to get the state of being that she wanted. She did not make that choice, or she chose not to make that choice, and therefore did not obtain the state of being that she was seeking at the beginning of the story.
Right, and as far as it goes in the earlier portion, we talked about how you would end a film for left or right minded. If you're ending that film for right-minded only, you would simply have it come to the point where Harrison Ford drives off and she stands there and does not follow him. And that's all you'd need to know, is that she had made up her mind she's not going to follow into that universe. It gives the direction that she has chosen to go. But that would be very unfulfilling for left-minded. And so for left-minded, there's a little tag bit at the end. And the little tag bit is that Harrison Ford is pulling out the boyfriend, who was his chief competition, again, being a left-minded tendency, the chief competition, the boyfriend, is coming back. Harrison Ford sees him, stops the car for a moment as he sees him